morning, everyone. How you doing? All right. So we're down to acoustic again this week. Justin is away or doing something. So we're going to have an acoustic worship, but we're going to have a worship. So we're going to just stand where you are right now. We realize some people will be late. Some are watching online, all that kind of good stuff. And so we're just going to open with prayer. And so let's open. Lord God, we come to you today. And at times, it seems like there's a mantra in the world today that there's one thing then the next, and it just seems like every way you turn, there is an attack, a battle, a struggle, a fear, a concern, whatever you may call it. Sometimes we may feel like Simon Peter, that we get out of the boat and we're walking and we're trying to keep our eyes on you, God, but the winds and the waves just keep crashing. So whatever it may be, God, we just know that you are in control. Help us not to lose sight of the fact that that although everything seems hectic, everything seems crazy, everything seems spinning, that you are the God who is in control of all things. And for that, during this time, Lord, I hope that whatever it may be, that may be a stumbling block, that may be a distraction, it may be a stronghold, that it may just be seem so distant, that you may make you seem so distant to us, that God, you will tear down those walls and the strongholds, and that we will see you clearly. And that maybe just today we just need to have your ever-loving arms wrapped around us. Whatever it may be, Lord, we are here today not for us, not for anybody else, but we're here just to hear what you have for us and to worship you. For that, we give you praise in Christ's name. Amen.
See my victory. All I see is the mountain. You see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet, I sing through the night, oh God. The battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. See all the ashes, you see the beauty. When all I see is a cross, God, you see an empty tomb. So when I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle be to you, and every fear I lay at your feet, I sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. An almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. An almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. An almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Jesus, breathe within. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a mighty storm, stir within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Jesus, breathe within. Lord, have your way in me. Like a mighty storm, stir within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way.
Again, welcome to Haven Community Church. Here we are. Everybody hear me okay? Yeah. All right, so good. Okay, so let's take a look here. We got some prayer requests. We got a lot of prayer requests today with a mix of things. Joanna and Ron, Ron's co-worker, prayers for Ron's co-worker, Julia Nancy, and also Lauren and Kathy Shea, prayers for them. Holly has asked for prayers for her friend's health. Bob Nichols asked for prayers for Melissa Veazey, who's in the hospital in Milford. Robin Hildebrand has asked for prayers for Jackie, who is stuck in grief. And Kathy at the end stage of cancer, so prayers for her and also for salvation in the midst of that. Other prayers that we had come in, Karen lifted up prayers for Nathan Klein. Rich Juergens asked for prayers for, they celebrated their anniversary last week, but he asked for prayers for Gail that Thursday, the 1st of July, she'll have a total knee replacement. She had one 4 years ago, and just praying for no pain and quick recovery and for the surgeon who's doing so. Carol Henson asked for prayers for Debbie Williams, who has been on dialysis. Has had COVID and had a tear in the aorta, and they flew her to Albuquerque for emergency surgery, and her children are going there as well. Dave Lewis asked for prayers for Roger Cardle, for complications with surgery. And Debbie Chadwick gave us a thank you for prayers for Jeannie Bowman's surgery. It went well, and continued prayers for her and her husband, Johnny. Also asked for prayers for specifically my daughter Hannah. Just continue to pray for her as the Satan has really been hammering on her the last year or so. And for me, particularly this Wednesday morning and throughout the day. For Melissa, her paternal grandmother, Verlene Music, passed away in Virginia, and they're having that service this week, so pray for her. And also, I mentioned one of our board members, Paul Heath. He has his mother just passed away. Last Sunday, he called, and they found his older brother dead. So continue his brother and the family, Mitchell Heath. So lift them in your prayers as well. So there's a lot going on. And not all of it's good, right? Not in our view. So we want to continue to ask the Lord to be very active in these things, okay? If you have other prayer requests, yes, Karen.
Yeah, there's a 5-year-old missing in Nashville. Been missing since last Tuesday.
Okay.
And can we just pray for that they find her?
Yeah, and I did see, I'm glad you said that, because I did also see in the midst of it, a family that at one point attended our church, that one of their daughters is missing as well. I saw that. So continue to lift them in your prayers as well. All right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we realize that there is so much in this world that that is heavy, but we recognize that, God, you took the weight of the world on you and on your shoulders. So we right now lift up every person on this prayer list. There's so many today, God, and you heard them by name. You know them by name. Right in the midst of our own minds and our own hearts, we recognize that you, God, are in control. As we sang today, the battle belongs to you, and one of the hardest parts is for us to surrender to that and just like you take care of it. So, Lord, we're going to try to do that. We're going to continue to do that. For everybody on this prayer list, we pray for specifically in heart and mind. And God, we recognize for those who, to add note, to those who have children that are missing, to those who are struggling with depression, for those who are just trying to get through the day, for those, God, who are stand up for you, and yet the world wants to attack them in every single way. For those who are dealing with loss, for those who are dealing with health and illnesses and all kinds of other struggles. God, we give you, we lay them down at your feet, and we recognize that only you can go ahead and organize and bring chaos out of this crazy world. It's interesting that when you first created this world, that it says the Spirit of God hovered across the water and brought order to chaos. And God, what we need right now is that same Spirit to bring order to the chaos in our worlds, but more importantly, God, the chaos that is within our own hearts and minds. And so we ask for your peace. We ask for the Prince of Peace to bring his healing power to this world, and particularly to those in this room and to those who are needed in these prayer requests. And for that, God, we're going to give you praise in advance that these struggles, these issues, these concerns, these prayers of people missing and those dealing with all kinds of things. God, I'm going to claim right now that every person we lifted up today, that will be a testimony for you in the near future. And so we are claiming your word of God today, that Satan has no power and that all hell flees at the mighty name of Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So God, do your will. And as we sang that last song, Lord, have your way in me, and we will give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. All right, there is no youth group today, correct? So there won't be youth group today, but they will resume next week, or is it 4th of July weekend? No. Okay, so they might, so keep in touch. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're not youth. Continue to look at that as well. And again, our Stephen ministers are very active and there for you. We just talked about turmoil, crisis, and all kinds of things. They are there definitely for you if you need to have somebody journey through life with you. And I also believe in August, you're going to start back the, what was it? The August 10th grief share. And that has been something that has been very well attended. Anybody who's been part of that has really embrace that. And one of the things I found is, it seems like a lot of people, everybody went to, has some sort of grief and loss that they're dealing with over this last year. Okay? We are in our fourth week of the series, No Fear. This is your bulletin. If you didn't get a hard copy bulletin today and you want to go ahead and get that, you can take out your smartphone, go ahead and act like you're taking a picture, and then just push on the screen and on that QR code, and it'll come up and you'll have it digitally, and you can have it forever. Isn't that wonderful? And so that's good to go, good, so that you can go ahead and check on it, look at it, and all kinds of other things. All right? So we've been going through several times of fear and different things over the last couple weeks, and today we're going to hit on another big one, all right? And how many of you ever had this kind of cross your mind? I have no idea what's going to happen. The future scares the stuffing out of me. What if something bad happens? I'm so worried about it. Or what if she gets that? Whatever, fill in the blank, what if? Or what if he gets? What if, you know, I'm so scared. What if something happens to my kids? What if the economy takes a downturn? What if I lose my job? What if our marriage doesn't work out? What if I got divorced? What if I don't really know who I am? What if? Anybody ever lived in what ifs? What ifs. So many people feel so out of control, and we live so much by the what ifs, and so we have a fear of losing it, and what we're talking about, it is control, fear of losing control, or just everything around you is so much that you just, how many of you have heard or said, I can't take anymore? Anybody? I can't take anymore, and then guess what happens? Something else comes, and you either take or break, right? That's what happens. So we are in week four, as I said, of our series, No Fear, and we're talking about how to overcome fear, and what we're dealing with right now is the fear of losing control here today. Our key verse for this series has been from 2 Timothy, and it says, for God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Many of us may question that last part big time, won't we? The sound mind. But God has promised, he has given us a power of power, love, and a sound mind. And so that's what we have here today, and that's our main verse. So we all have something we are afraid of. We've gone through this several times. We've talked about different things. Remember week one, we talked about how many were afraid. We'll just check again. How many are you afraid of spiders? Anybody? How many snakes? How many are shadow? Anybody? How many of the dark? I mean like the dark where you feel the dark. You know what I mean? Like where there's no lights. And you're like, and this guy. And nobody's afraid of the dark? Okay, there we go. Got some of those. Anybody got any other fears? Heights? Anybody afraid of clowns? Yeah, there's some people who just like, and I think I told you before, but there's something called mime or clown communion, and I thought it was really cool. And I did that one time at a church, and a clown walked down, and I thought some people were going to have a heart failure. You know, I was like, oops, I guess some people are afraid of clowns. So you have that kind of thing. There's a lot of fears that we have out there. We talked about some of the irrational fears that some people had. We went through fears by states and other kinds of things. And so we've talked about that. But today we are going to talk about a fear of losing control. And yet we all may have something that we're afraid of. But we all may have something that just kind of sets us off. And many of us may have just irrational fears. Anybody know anybody who's had an irrational fear? Like something that's just weird? I heard there's some people. Anybody been over the big, like, Bay Bridge? Anybody have a fear of bridges? Okay. You know that there's people that actually make money by driving people back and forth on either side the Bay Bridge? Fear can be lucrative for some people, I guess, and it really is for others. And it really is for many people. I mean, many of us have security systems. Many of us have, some kind of weapons or other kinds of things. That fear is lucrative as well, but it's also lucrative to the enemy, Satan. And so we have these fears, and the next thing that we know, these fears start to approach, we start to creep in, and then the next thing we know, our lives start spiraling out of control based in the what ifs. What if this, what if that? And so we have this spiraling out of control. The truth of the matter is this, that many of us are living with what the Bible calls an anxious heart, that we have an anxious heart, that there's some type of heaviness about you, something that's weighing down on you, something that is making it difficult for you to cope and have normal life, something so difficult that maybe God wants you to do it, and it's weighing down on you. If you...
have, if you're wondering if you have an anxious heart and you're dealing with the thing to cope with, I'll give you a hint. The alarm goes off in the morning and you go, still here, right? And there's a lot that happens. Wow, another one. Lord, you didn't return yet. You know, those kind of things, that we have this kind of weight. And the reality right now is, in your heart and mind, right this minute, there is something that may be significantly bothering you. It may be distracting you, something that you are really, really worried about. In Proverbs 12, 25, here's what it says. The scripture tells us about this anxious heart. It says, an anxious heart weighs a man down. Anybody ever felt like you had the anchor to the Titanic around your heart? And because you're so anxious or you're worried or there's stuff around you. It may not even be that you're worried about yourself. It may be that you're worried about others around you and it weighs you down. Anybody been a parent? Okay. So you've probably had that once or twice. Anybody been a parent of teenagers? Yeah, there you go. So you have some of those. So an anxious heart weighs a person down. There are those right now at this moment that I believe that you are weighted down with heaviness because there's certain concerns or things that are causing anxiety in your life or causing an anxious heart. So here's some things. How do you know that you are living with an anxious heart? So in your bulletin, I gave you something. You're like, oh, I should have hit that. Don't worry. I put it up here because I know you don't listen. Don't even pull out that. So, but anyway, I'm going to go through some things. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to we're going to be honest today. I'm going to ask you a question. Some of those, you got a cheat sheet because you're in the bulletin and you have it. Or your worship guide. And I'm going to give you six characteristics of those who have an anxious heart. And I'm going to ask you the question. I want you to simply put a yes, if that's what you are. And then I want you to also raise your hand as well, and or just check the box or what have you. I want you to go ahead and have this. So if you check three or more boxes, I'm going to say you're living with an anxious heart, okay? So here we go. The first thing, are you rattled when things don't go as expected? How many? Okay, some people don't like that. Okay, there you go. There's one for you guys. Way to go. You're two more, and you're there. So that's the first one. If you're rattled when things don't go your way. What about this? Do you often worry about things that are beyond your control? That, for instance, you say, oh, man, that's me. I worry about this stuff all the time. Like, anybody have a discussion about government? There you go. Anybody had a discussion about COVID? Anybody had a discussion about, I don't know, the economy? Those things. Things are out of your control. For the most part. So if you got that, and if you guys got two, you're got one more. I feel like I'm on the Price is Right or the wrong. What about this one? Do you least slow sleep over pressing issues? How many least? I don't sleep much anyway. But so I want you to be honest. If you're awake at night, how many of you lay awake at night at times just thinking about something, or are concerned about something? Some of you who have said sleep, what is that? That's a yes. Okay. The next one, number four, is. Next one, is it hard to turn your mind, turn off your mind? My mind never stops. You know, that's a yes. Your mind is always playing games. It's negotiating around. It's telling you one thing. Some of you may just at this point need to see, I got to lift my hands up all the time here. We're going to go. Does the unknown intimidate you? Does the unknown intimidate you? So what's going to happen? It freaks you out a little bit. Or, and this... one here. Do you often imagine the worst case scenario? All right. That what's going to happen, it's going to be bad. And you think about that. So if you had three or more boxes checked, which from the looks, it seems like a lot, then chances are you are living with an anxious heart, a heart that is weighed down in your own life. Now, how many of you are control freaks? How many of you like to control things? Some of you won't raise your hand because I ask you and you're a control freak and you don't want to raise your hand. All right? So, what? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, you like to control things. Like, for instance, it may be something little. Like, usually when we're with the family, there's no question. I'm driving. All right? They'll gripe about it, but I'm driving. It's just, I want to drive. If I'm going with friends, I want to drive. It's just what I like to do. How many of you have a television? How many of you have to have the remote? Yeah, like if I walk in the room and somebody else has it, I will lose my mind until I find the remote. I have to have it. I mean, what I want to watch might be on there, and I might even have an app about it, but I want the remote in my hand. I've got to have that. How many have a place that you sit at the dinner table and if somebody sat in it, you are in trouble? How many have your own chair? right? How many have your own car? Okay. Anybody else got any controlling things? How many of the people that you work with say, man, they're controlling? All right. So many of us are controlling. I like to control things. Like I said, I have those. Do you ever wish that you could get people to do what you want them to do? All the time. Here's a fact, though, I want to tell you. You cannot control other people, even though some of you will try the rest of your life. Not only can you not control other people, but you ultimately cannot control the events around your life. You can't, no matter how godly you are, no matter how prayerful you are, no matter how committed to the Lord, no matter how focused, no matter whether you live in the North Pole, no matter whether you live in the South Pole or somewhere in between in the equator, guess what? Here's the thing. You cannot control what happens around you. And as a control freak, that stinks. And you got to deal with it. And what do you try to do when those things happen? Try to take control of the situation, don't you? Try to organize it all and make it all work. Anybody ever had somebody who was upset at you and you tried to control it all and make it work? How'd that work out for you? Didn't work very well. So we have these things time and time again. The bottom line is, and we need to embrace this, that you are never, ever, ever in control. You are not in control now. You will never be in control. For some of you, you're listening right now, and you stop listening because you're saying, no, I'm in control of my ears. So I'm going to say, you're never in control. None of us are ever in control. We're not in control now. We're not going to be in control in the future. And all these other kinds of things, there are things in our life that are just, we're never going to be fully in control. And the reason so many of us fear losing control is simply this. Control is something we never had in the first place. That's the one thing. And the second thing is, it's an illusion that we believe if we do everything right, then everything will come out the way we want it to be. How many of you believe, like for instance, I remember graduating high school and way back, last of the 80s, woohoo, best of the 80s, yeah, that's what we said. But I remember in graduating 1989 that we had this book and I've said this before, but we projected where our lives were going to be. And none of it was negative. How many of you ever done one of those things? Where will you be in 5 years? And you're like, oh, it's going to be bad. I mean, I'm gonna be. How many of you, like 5 years ago, said, oh, the whole world's going to be shut down? Yes. You know, anybody say, and we wear masks everywhere? And, you know, how many of us ever thought that? We didn't think that when it went 2020. We were like, woo, 2020, end of decade, yay. And they were like, ugh, end of the world, right? That's where we got to. Time and time again. So we never project things because we think if we live right, we eat right, we speak right, we worship right, we have the right friends, the right family, that everything's going to be wonderful. And the simple fact is, it's not, because we are not in control. And this world is out of control. The ironic thing is, many times the things that we desire to control the most, the things that are the most precious to us, are the very things that are most out of control in our lives. And that's why so many people live with an anxious, weighed down heart and don't even realize that the anxiety is weighing them down in this world. So that's the message today. Have a great week. But what do we do? What do we do with this? I mean, the bottom line is, we said, okay, there is this anxious heart. So how do we actually get to the point where we may have some peace in the midst of this storm that is around us? I believe that we need to have peace in action, and there are two biblical principles from God's word of how to experience his peace in the middle of the action. So number one, here we go. We need to take our minds off of the what-ifs of fear. We have to take our minds off the what-ifs of fear. What if the economy turns south? What if they sell my company? What if I lose my job? What if this COVID variant is worse than the original? What if the doctor gives me a bad report? What if our marriage doesn't go to distance? What if we can't have children? What if we have too many children? What if they say this and that about me? What if I can't help those who I love the most? We have to take, as hard as it is, our minds off of the what-ifs of fear. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 21. Here's what he said right here. Make up your mind not to worry beforehand. Now, isn't that a nice little statement that Jesus gave us there? Hey, guys, there you go. That's the message. Make up your mind. Just don't worry. How's that going to work for you? Because, you know, but Jesus also said, hey, don't worry about tomorrow because you got enough stuff today. We just have to reach a point where this goes back to the renewing of our minds, which we had in Mindfield several months ago, and how we have to get our minds, and it's hard. It's difficult because we sing, the battle belongs to you. We believe that, and then you get hit again in the battle. I was looking, I have this really cool VR kind of thing, but you don't look cool in VR, just to let you know. I mean, you look like a complete imbecile. You can put this thing on, and when you take it off, your hair has a part in it, and it's just odd. But during the moment, it's really good, and I was watching a thing on D-Day the other day. Like a documentary on there, which was really kind of cool to me. And they had people there talking. And some of the things that they were talking about is that, you know, it started by the naval ships just bombarding the beach so that the troops could get on and get there and go up with less problems. But what ended up happening, they said as they got closer, and it took them 3 hours in those little amphibious machines to get from the boats to the shore, which, you know, I kind of thought from video games and movies that they just, you know, kind of went, there we go, 3 hours, okay, and seeing this bombardment, and then when the amphibious machines would open up, several of the officers were shot right away, and several people were shot right away. Other people jumped off the side and began to drown because their packs and their equipment weighed them down. Other people, when they made it to the beach, there were all these obstacles that the Nazis had put up, and so they had to hide behind them, but some got caught up in it and were stuck. Others who made it to the beach then were a sitting duck to be shot from there. And one group, I said, lost 80% of its men. They thought that, bam, right when it was attacked in the Navy, okay, we're going to be able to go on the shore a lot better. But no, there was another obstacle and another obstacle and another challenge and another bullet. And that's how life is at times. We're in a place and we say, okay, here's where we are. And we're headed in this area. And so we say, okay, I'm great. The Navy, God's Navy, boom, he is knocked out those forces of what I'm looking at, the challenge that I'm facing, the battle that's there. I see it, God. You got the battle. And then, bam, on the beach, we're hit again. We're hit again. So what we've got to recognize is we don't have control of anything around us, although we want to have control over it. We want calm. I sometimes just want, and I've got to tell you, over the last year plus, I just want Jesus to say, peace, be still. But guess what? Each time, there's another wind, and there's another wave, and there's another thing, and there's another up, and there's another down, and there's always something that we have. So we have to make up our mind not only to say the battle belongs to you, but believe it. Make up our minds not to worry. Make up our minds to say, okay, it's going to be okay because God's got this. Before that situation ever arises, we need to do that. I'm going to find out who's older now. How many of you remember on Saturday afternoons, ABC's Wide World of Sports? Okay, there you go. The ones who didn't raise your hand, enjoy your youth, okay? But remember, it was Spanning the Globe. Remember that? Jim McKay? And you had the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. Now, I'm going to tell you, in all those years, I remember the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. Now, I can tell you, I watched that every weekend. My mom loved it, but I always hated when it was figure skating. Right? I always loved something else. Anything else, even it's like the, you know, with on the skis, the cross country, whatever it was good, but it's figure skating, I'm like, ugh, that's just me, all right? And some people love it, but just, it wasn't mine. But what I remember, that tagline, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, was I cannot, to this day, remember one clip of the thrill of victory. But everybody in this room can tell me what the clip of the agony of defeat was, right? What was it? The guy, the ski jump and the agony of defeat. Boom, 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 boom. That guy rolled a billion years. They even changed it. They even changed the thrill of victory several times. They had the Little League when the Williamsport or the people in the area won the Little League World Series. They had Jim Craig wrapped in the American flag for that. But we don't remember the thrill of victory. We remember so much the agony of defeat. And that guy was there. Bam, 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 bam. He just rolled off of that. Why is it that we remember the bad all the time? Why? Because we're sick. That's why. It's true. It's because it's so much easier to focus on the negative in our lives than the positive. How many other sports fanatics are in here? Anybody sports fanatics? You know I am. And there's another thing, speaking of skiing, there's another thing called extreme skiing. Anybody ever heard of this? Extreme skiing. This is where these imbeciles will go ahead, and many of them will take a helicopter up to mountains that have never been skied. They will drop them off, and it's one thing. Race you to the bottom. Shoom. And it's all kinds of dangerous things. There's so much that has happened. And one of the things that you got to be careful of is avalanches. But another thing is that you're not going so fast that you hit a tree. And that sounds kind of funny, but it's not, because many of them have died hitting trees. Because it's not marked out for you. And so there's this thrill, this extreme skiing. And there's a world champion. His name is Kim Reichelman. I think he's the world champion because he hasn't hit a tree. He's still alive. But somebody, he was interviewed and he was asked, Kim, how is it that you don't run into trees? I mean, this is a sport that a lot of people run into trees. And his response is so profound. He said this, how do I not run into trees? I don't look at the trees. I look to the spaces between the trees. In other words, I don't look at what distracts me or gets me. I ski between the places that get me to my goal. I don't look at the what-ifs of fear. I don't look at the what-ifs that send my life out of control. But I have to make my mind. Before he ever got out of that helicopter, he's saying, I'm getting to the bottom, and I'm looking at whatever path is there that I have to force to get to the bottom. I don't care about the trees. And we have to do the same thing in our lives, as hard as it is, recognizing that there's trees that are there that we don't even know about, but we got to keep our eyes in between the trees on the path. Now, I got to tell you, I'm still learning myself, after many years, to embrace this biblical principle. I'll tell you how bad I am, and I'm just going to try to be as open as I can be and hope that you still love me after this, all right? My mind can run down a trail of what-ifs that would make your head spin. Like I've mentioned before, talking with a counselor one time, I was told I have the most active mind they've ever seen. That's not good, just to let you know many times. But anyway, there's some good or bad things. So for instance, my mind can run down this deal. If I call the kids, call Melissa, and they don't answer, I go, I'm going to call them again. I hope they're okay. I don't go, they're probably just ignoring my text or my phone, which is usually the case. And I go, wow, I haven't heard from them. And then I'll message somebody else. Have you heard from your mother? No. Have you heard from Jacob? No. Have you heard from... You know, I'll go through the list. So, oh my gosh, something bad probably happened. And God forbid if you're one of those people who has those scanners and comes on and you hear like a maker model. Or I've had Melissa call me before and she goes, where's Jacob? And I said, he's downstairs. Because there's a car just like his. Now, for her, that means a blue car. You know what I mean? Doesn't have to be maker model. It just means blue car. And her baby, right? You know, that's what you guys got what I'm saying. And so she's just checking to make sure everything, okay, because I saw it and I want to make sure. It's a really bad accident. I want to make sure it happened. Our minds go right to those areas. Mine does. So I'll call on the cell phone, still not answering. They're not there. I knew it. Something has to be bad. And then I go down the winding path of what will happen? What will my life be without them? Well, how am I going to do this? I've had people that I love before that have gone to a doctor and had a questionable diagnosis and had to come back to have tests and going there. And my mind has already lived out doing their funerals. That's where this mind goes. And so it's torturous at times, but this is part of living in the what-ifs of fear. Okay? So what am I going to do if that's not happening? My life's over. And I go down this sick road in my mind. And then they pull up and I'm like, why do I pay for cell phones and you don't use them? Right? We go through this whole kind of thing. So any of you equally as jacked up and messed up as me? Okay, I just want to make sure I'm not alone. Misery loves company. We can all go have a group counseling therapy together and work through that. But you know what the Bible teaches us? It teaches us this that principle of we need to take our minds off of the what-ifs of fear. So I won't look at the trees, but I'm going to look at what's in between them. So why does God tell us not to worry? Number one, because he knew we would. But the other thing is, and you can write this down, worry never changes anything for good. Never changes anything for good. I have never had anybody say, thank God I worried about that. I am so glad I worried because I am so glad I worried about him or her or that or this because those anxiety-filled moments, I needed some extra non-sleep. Nobody has ever said worry made something good. Not anybody. Will worry change some things? Yes, but not for the good. We know that worry will change your health. We know that worry will break down your relationship with God and others. And your ability to engage in action. I know some people are so paralyzed by anxiety and fear, they won't even move. Worry never, ever changes anything for the good. I did a quick word study of the word worry in the NIV Bible. And here's what I found. I found that every place the word worry is, it appears in the NIV, there are two words in front of it. Do not. Every place. And you know, worry is in the Bible more than faith. Because he knew we'd be worrying more than being more faithful. Okay, so that's where he is. And, you know, every place, every single time there is worry in the NIV, it says, do not, do not, do not, do not. Because worry never changes anything, and God knows we're still going to worry about all things. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, 27, he asked a question. He said, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Anybody got an answer to that one? I'm going to tell you, by science and studies, you actually take hours away from your life by worrying. They've shown that time and time again. What good is worrying going to do to you? Nothing. There's a story of a guy who worried all the time. He was a chronic worrier. When things weren't going good, he worried about it. When things were going good, he worried that things were going to soon be bad. He went to see a counselor, and he got there, and he said, doctor, help me. I worry all the time. What can I do? And the doctor thought about it for a bit, and he looked, and he said, I think that I can help you. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you that throughout the week, you take out a piece of paper and you write down anything and everything that you are potentially going to worry about. But you're not allowed to worry about it when you write it down. You simply write it down, make a list on a piece of paper, and then we're going to set aside 1 hour every single week for you to worry. So we're going to pick Wednesdays from 3 to 4 p.m., and that's going to be your worry hour. I want you on Wednesday at 3 p.m. to go out, get your list of potential worries, and I want you to pull them out. And one by one, I want you to actively worry about them. So you're going to pull out one, thing one. I'm so worried about it. Thing two. Work down through your list. And you're going to go through that. The guy looked at the doctor, and he said, doc, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my whole life. I can't believe I'm paying you all this money. What good is worrying like that going to do? And the doctor said, exactly. Who of you can add a single hour to your life? Because an anxious heart weighs a person down. Therefore, I need to make a commitment that I need to take my mind off of the what-ifs of fear and worry. I will not worry because worry changes nothing. There's another key thought here that I got to add to you. There's a blank there. Satan's tool of fear is meant to prevent you from God's best. Satan's tool of fear is meant to prevent you from God's best. And I'll explain it to you this way. Who has seen the movie The Wizard of Oz? I should say it this way. Is there anyone who has not seen The Wizard of Oz? I think everybody's pretty much seen The Wizard of Oz, right? It's one of those staples. I remember as a kid, when before we could see it on whatever we wanted to in that moment, we had to wait on CBS once or twice a year to go, once a year to, to see it. Oh, the ruby slippers, yeah, you know, we were just thrilled about it. How many of you were afraid of the flying monkeys? There you go, yep. How many of the Wicked Witch? How many of the Munchkins? How many Dorothy? I don't know, somebody. But there's a guy in, that's a main character in this, who doesn't have a brain. What is he? The Scarecrow, right? The Scarecrow. If I only had a brain, right? Remember that? Now, what does a farmer do whenever he's got some really good corn and the birds want to go get the good corn? What does he pull out? A scarecrow. Exactly. You guys are awesome today. All right? He's got a scarecrow. Now, does the scarecrow have any power to harm the birds? Right? He's just... What's the scarecrow's only weapon? Fear. Our spiritual enemy has a few weapons. One is the lie. Deceiving our minds to believe something that is not true as if it were true. And then his biggest weapon is fear. But we just said God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. But our spiritual enemy has this great weapon of fear. And if I was a smart bird, anytime I saw a scarecrow, I wouldn't be afraid. Why? Because he has no ability to harm me. Instead, you know what I would do? If I was a really intelligent bird, I would go where the scarecrows are because that's where the best stuff is. There's a lot to that when we look at this in our lives. Scarecrows are the best advertisements for real good corn. And guess what? Our spiritual scarecrow, Satan, is the best advertisement for where God's blessing is. I have discovered that when fears enter my life, and if I allow the faith of God to break the wall of fear, on the other side, I often find on the other side of that wall of fear is God's blessings. And this image popped in my head of, remember the wall that separated Berlin? Where families were separated for years. And then we have that great quote by Ronald Reagan and that many of his advisors didn't want him to say. And he said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Right? Remember that? Remember Ronnie? And the images of people just taking the pics and going down, tearing down. I actually have a piece of that wall that somebody gave to me. We need to have the scarecrow walls torn down time and time again because God's blessing is beyond that. I fear rejection. Why? Because I don't want to be hurt. But the faith of God in me breaks through that wall of fear, and on the other side of that wall, I find the intimacy that God desires. I feel failure. And when the fear of God, the love of God, penetrates that wall of fear of failure, on the other side, I find God's blessings of success. As a leader in church for 25 years, every time I've made some kind of move, aggressive move, that I felt that God wanted me to do, it always had a lot of fear along with it. What if somebody leaves the church? What if somebody doesn't like that? What if it fails? What if I lose confidence in people? God, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? They're all there every time for 25 years. And I have been consumed by fear at times. But when faith broke that wall of fear and I took that step of faith, sometimes it's a large leap of faith, it was on the other side of that fear that churches and me personally have experienced the greatest blessings of God. You see, the scarecrow, the fear of the evil one, is often that advertisement for God's very best. Some of you say, Jack, that is so far from Scripture. You're bringing in the Wizard of Oz. Are you going to start clicking your heels and so I can go home? That's what you might say right now. But I want to show you something in the Scripture. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 5. Look at what the Bible says. This is awesome. Like a scarecrow in a melon patch. Do not fear them. They can do no harm. No one is like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is mighty in power. Isn't it cool when God helps with my sermon illustrations? I think it's awesome. Come on, search scarecrow. Ooh, there is one. There we go. You are living, you and I are living with anxious hearts. We are being weighed down. And we need to take our minds off of the what ifs of fear and move on to the second thing that is contained in that. Thought number two is, if we take our minds off of the what ifs of fear, we fix our minds on the promises of faith. I take my mind off the what ifs and I put it on the promises of faith. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, we are given a look at the promises of faith. You will be kept in perfect peace. Anybody need some perfect peace in your life? Anybody want just an ounce of that? You will be kept in perfect peace. How do you get that? Whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. You trust in God, leaning not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledging him, and he will make your path straight through the trees. Isn't that cool? But it's hard because I didn't see that tree and it hurts when you hit a tree. But we got to keep our mind and trust in him time and time again. The supernatural peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, will give us peace in the middle of an action when our mind is fixed and focused on the things of God. When we trust in the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all our strength. When we trust in the Lord and not lean on our own understandings, but acknowledge him in all ways, is when it happens. The bottom line is this. Whenever we are worried and afraid, the truth is at that moment, when we are worried and afraid, we don't trust God enough. And we're not trusting him at all when we are worried and afraid. That hurts. Because I think I'm a pretty good Christian guy. But when I don't trust God, when I'm worrying, I'm not trusting God in those moments. There have been multiple times that as a father, one of the things that when my kids were afraid of something, I kind of said, no, I got you. And sometimes they'd be like, I don't know. I asked them a little bit yesterday. I was trying for things when they were younger. But, I talked the other week about, them swimming. And I'd be like, come on. They had to trust me in that. Anybody remember learning how to swim? How, like, that freaked you out, Or you helped a kid swim? I always made sure they swam underneath so that it would be easier for them above. But they had to trust me enough to hold the breath and go, and daddy's right here. They had to trust me in that as well. It was interesting. Emmigail told me, I asked her, I said, I asked this question of everybody, what was the area that you trusted me in that you felt like I built trust in you? And she said, the first time we went to Haiti, I was like, why? And because she signed up. She was like, I'm ready to go. And I was like, no, I got to go. I was really like that. I was like, I always was like, that missionary stuff, keep to them. I like electronics. I like air conditioning, right? That's where I am. That's where I've always been in my life. And I pray for years, God, do not send me in the mission field. Remember I told you a couple weeks, I've had some people who are in the mission field. I'm like, oh, God bless you. Yeah, here's some money, go. All right, I'll pray for you. Let's pray for you. But that ain't me. And so Emmigail says, let's go. And then I'm like, I got to be on all week. I got to be Preacher Jack all week. I got to be hot and sweaty. And I don't want to go. And Melissa goes, you're going. And I was like, all right. And but then I remember this other thing was, like, right before we're getting ready to go, Emmigail got afraid. Because started seeing stuff about Haiti. And started believing and started hearing some things that actually go on there. Where they've, that we've heard in the last couple of years, particularly last year with COVID and gangs, and they don't have strong governments. And honestly, the United States government over the years has been the one that's helped bring stability, and I'm praying for that for Haiti. Our churches and our people are doing really awesome stuff there. But she was afraid. As a teenage blonde girl, she was going to get abducted. Matter of fact, I yelled at you two when you were lagging in the airport. I'm like, get up here. She's like, what? She went from being afraid to when we're leaving the second time, like, yeah, we're in the airport. I'm like, get in. But that fear came in. I said to her, no, I'm going to be with you. Dad's there. So nothing's going to happen to you because I'm not going to let anything happen to you because I'm going to be there. And this is the same approach. And the reason why I started looking at it, throughout life, whether it's swimming or whether it's going to Chuck E. Cheese where somebody's afraid of the Chuck E. Cheese things, or whether it's going to Haiti or something else, that I tried to instill in my kids all along, although I failed at times and not been perfect, that daddy's here, and as long as he's here, right, dads, ain't nothing going to happen to you unless it happens to me first, right? That's what we do. And one of the things we need to learn is I wanted to build trust in me as the earthly father so they could truly trust their heavenly father. And if they thought that I have it covered, we need to ask ourselves the question this. Children of God, do you trust your heavenly daddy? Do you believe that he's got it taken care of and he's got it covered? If he tells you he's working in all things to bring about good for those who love him and are called to his purpose, even though the storm is around you and you're just missing trees or getting scraped up by, do you trust him? Because the bottom line is when I worry and I'm afraid and I do it often, I'm not trusting my dad. George Mueller, I love this picture of him. Isn't he a happy guy? He's like a great evangelist and he is happy. And he didn't have air conditioning, you know? But he says the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. And he looks like he's happy. He looks like he's got, like he trusts that God's got it all in control. What he's doing is contrasting faith and worry. And so write this down if you want to. Faith brings peace. Worry brings turmoil. Faith draws you closer to God. Worry takes you further away from God. Faith changes things. Worry takes you from God and faith changes things. God responds to the faith of his children. Worry changes nothing. Only God and faith do. So my question is, are you living with an anxious, worried, weighed down heart? So what is the application? How do we not just hear God's word but become doers of the word? So if you want to, you can write this down as well. We need to give your concerns or your cares to God, and don't take them back. That is like the hardest statement ever to say. I'm going to give my cares. Cast all your cares on him. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And I do, but then here comes a tree. Here comes somebody shooting at me on the beach. And I start to take it back. I start to debate. Every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Do I believe it in my heart? Do I trust him enough for that? The Apostle Paul said this in Philippians chapter 4. Don't be anxious about anything. Oh, come on. Don't be anxious about anything. Hey, you get a diagnosis of terminal cancer? Don't be anxious or worried about it. You got a loved one who tried to take their life? Don't be worried about it. Don't be anxious. You're depressed and you're thinking about doing the same thing? Hey, don't worry about it. You lost your job and you're broke and you have bills that are due and you're homeless? Don't worry about it. How do you do that? By prayer and petition? With thanksgiving? Oh God, thank you that I'm going through the struggle. Because I know I'm presenting my request to you, and I know that through the turmoil in my life, that the peace of God transcends everything that's here. And if it transcends everything that's in my understanding, you're going to do something else, God. You're going to guard my heart, and you're going to guard my mind. Sounds easy, right? Guess what? Today there's going to be something that's going to make you anxious. You're going to start to worry. You're going to be concerned. And that heart's going to start to weigh down. And that distance between you and God is going to seem deeper and wider. And you're going to say, where are you, God? He said, I was right here, but you didn't come to me with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, trusting me. You see, my kids went from being afraid of pools to loving them because they knew no matter what happened that they had thanksgiving because they knew their dad had them. I need some guarding of my heart and mind. But in order to get that, I need some prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. And in the world that we're in, it's very difficult to do that. I heard a story about someone who really took this very seriously, and I thought it was awesome to share with you. They said when they worry about something, they want to give it to God, that it's his. So they decided to create a trusting box. And so what they have to do is, in order to worry about something again, they have to, so when they have a worry, they went ahead and they put it in the box. And if they were, in order to worry about it again, they have to go to the box and pull it out and physically take it out with the worry on it and physically say, God, I don't trust you with this. And be honest in that and not be judged by it, but tell you that there's some things. Like, because I can tell you, I'm going to be honest, there's some things that I greatly worry about. And it's interesting with putting some of these things down. When I put some of these down early in the week, other things happen, which tried to press that up again. And if I had that box on my table, I'd be pulling it back out again and saying, God, I don't trust you. One of the things that that I can say is God has blessed Melissa and me at this point in our lives with some financial blessings. I mean, we're good. I remember the days that it was begging the church treasurer, can you give me my check 2 weeks ahead because I got nothing, right? And I remember, and some of you may remember that in your own lives, that where you had absolutely nothing. And I'll tell you, during those times, there was much more prayer and petition in my life regarding this. Anybody know what I mean? When you got nothing, that's when you fight on your knees with your hands lifted up, okay? And so in the midst of this, so much of our 25 years, we lived on a wing and a prayer. We worked hard, we prayed hard, we implemented things like financial peace and also some other things. And so God has blessed us. And the reality is, though, I worry a ton about finances. So what do? Because I worry about finances. I continue to give generously because God blesses a generous giver. So if somebody needs something, hey, if I can help with the great ministry you guys have done here, I'll do it. If I can help personally, I'll do it. Because I didn't survive alone. God used somebody else in order to do that. I continue to work and save and invest the best I can. But at the end of the day, when it comes to my finances, you know where I need, where it needs to go? In the trusting box. There's another thing that I worry about. And it's this. I worry about my kids. This world is very cruel. And it's dangerous. And there are a lot of temptations, a lot of harsh critics, a lot of vindictive, evil people with difficult expectations waiting to devour them. And by being a PK, a preacher's kid, I always wanted my kids to be extra normal because they have a weight that other people didn't. I grew up with it, so I understand it. Oh, you're the pastor's kid. Oh, you're Reverend Cook. And that's a weight to deal with. And at the and so as we look at that, so what do I do? Because there's times where loving them through whatever they're going through, talking with them, helping them, getting them to right people, that ultimately there are things that have and do happen to them that I've wished that Dad could have taken that off of them or been that buffer zone. And Satan's really amazing because, remember the scarecrow? He says, hey, I thought you're supposed to be this man of God, and I thought you're supposed to be a good father. I thought you're supposed to do this, and you're supposed to protect them, and you're supposed to do these things. And then you know what he uses? He uses the fear of guilt. And then it starts to break you down. Unless you come with prayer and petition of thanksgiving in all circumstances. But my kids, so what do I do? Well, Melissa and I have to pray for them every day. We can love them with the love of God. We, from the moment they were born, most of them have biblical names. We can teach them scriptural truth. We can share the love of Christ. But the only place I can really place my kids is in the trust box. You know, when they're little and they have stuff, you can take care of it all, right? You can just pick them up, kiss it, put a Band-Aid on it, get them some ice cream. You can fix it. One of the hardest things as a dad is not to be able to fix their issues anymore, right? Moms, same thing. And it breaks your heart. Because you've got to trust God and not be anxious. And when you see choices and you see that things that have happened to them that have almost broken them, and you're powerless, got to place it in the trust box. And then the third thing that haunts me all the time, and I try to keep this in my trust box, but this sucker always keeps coming out. It's always been that I'm not enough, that I'm too flawed, and that I will fail. I will fail God. I will fail my family and friends. I will fail the church. I will fail life. I will fail my kids. I will fail everybody. Every day. So what do? I worry about it. That's what I do. I get concerned about it. Oh, what if somebody says something? And people do say things. One of the things that I've realized now is we live in a cancel culture. We've heard that term. And we live in a culture where we're in a point in life where the more you stand out in any kind of area in public, or the more you stand out particularly in the area as a representative of God, look out. And so I've always been concerned about what may happen if I fail people, or if people just get the perception that I fail, and that then in turn fail God. So what do? When Satan wants to destroy me, when he breaks me down, when he fills me with lies and pains and distractions, the only place that I can really find my true worth is in my trust box, in the Word of God. And so, who does God say about my true identity? I have said that at times I'm unlovable, and you may be the same way, but God says I am forever loved. That he's loved me with an everlasting love. I say or have said that I am scarred, but God says I'm healed. I can say I'm weak, but he says, no, I make you strong. He says, I can recognize that I'm a sinner, and he can say, yeah, but I can see you as forgiven. I can feel abandoned, but God says, I've been adopted. I love Ephesians 1:5. It says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Isn't it good to know that you may feel abandoned, but God adopting you, you are the pleasure of his life? I have been rejected by all those people that I worry about, but God says, I'm his. I say I'm alone, but God says he's always with me. I say I'm hopeless, but God says because of him, I'm hopeful. I can say I am purposeless, but God says I was created for a purpose. I can say I failed, but God says I am victorious in Christ. Because he says, but thanks be to God. He gives us the victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ our Lord. I can say I'm lost, and he can say, I'll show you the way. This is the way, walk in it. I can say I'm worried, anxious, and afraid, but God says, I am peace-filled. When he said, Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. I can say I'm happy, but God says I am joy-filled. I can say I'm afraid, but God says I am powerful, loved, and have a sound mind, our theme verse. I can say I'm nothing special, but God says I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and I know that full well. I can say I'm worthless, but God says Jesus died because I am worth it, because God so loved the world. God so loved Jack that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it in and through him. And so an anxious heart will weigh you down. But scripture says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, we present our requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, at that point will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So God, by faith, I want to cast down every single one of my cares upon you and trust that you are going to care for me and take care of us, because I'm going to believe your promises are true. And I always think of the old hymn, standing on the promises. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, that's that Thanksgiving, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. On Christ the solid rock I stand, on other ground a sinking sand. Do I sing it or do I believe it? And I got to tell you, the storms and the trees I am so tired of. And anything, it's what I've also found about fear, and I don't have this here, but this is going to be the end as we're winding down. What I've found about fear, those things that I fear the most at one moment, when another tree comes out, that is somebody else, that is one of my kids, or it's my wife, or it's somebody else I love, the thing I was afraid about me goes to the wayside, and I don't care a thing about it. And I say, God, take care of that, because I got to deal with this. When I need to just say, God, take care of it all, and let that weight be lifted from the heaviness of my heart. Personally, I need your prayers more than ever before. So, see, Siri's already praying for me. I need your prayers because this year, the scarecrow has been kicking my rear end. Day after day after day. Now, I know he's bad. But guess what? The battle ain't mine. It feels like it. The battle belongs to him. Every fear, I need to lay at his feet. And I got to say, God, the battle belongs to you. God, the battle belongs to you. God, the battle belongs to you. No weapon formed against me will prosper. That God, the 91st Psalm, which actually I have a t-shirt on today, that those who fall, there may be 10,000 to the right and 1,000 to the left, but those who dwell in the shadow of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Do I just read it? Do I just talk about it? Do I just do studies about it? Or do I believe it in my heart and my life? I'm going to tell you, I have to. It's not all I've got, it's the best I got. And so God is going to be glorified in all this. But pray. Pray with prayer and petition and thanksgiving. And present your request to God. And then the peace of Christ, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It's a word, it's a verse I've said many times, but when we look at fear, it leaps out at you. Because I don't think I've really been doing what I need to get the peace of Christ to pass all my understanding, because I keep pulling out of the box and worrying again. So I'm going to ask that you stand right now, and we're going to move to our last song today in a bit after I pray. And so I just want you we touched on four different types of fear, but we could do this till Jesus returns. Because Satan has used the same tactics from the beginning. Have you ever heard? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's Satan's use of fear. We talked last week about Adam and Eve in the garden, right? And remember he said Jesus said, God said, where are you? And he said, I heard you in the garden, and I hid because I was afraid. It's been this, I think it's awesome that that the same tactic in the garden where it got to questioning God. You see, Adam and Eve didn't trust God. Did God really say? And by not trusting him, it led to fear pretty quickly, didn't it? And it led to the fall of humanity. So let's just pray to the Lord right now as we go before him. And whatever fears you have, just recognize Satan ain't changing what he's already done because it's still working. So God, we ask that now in the next few moments that you'd speak to us in a way that only you can do. And as all of us are praying right now, those of you with an anxious heart, you're heavy, you're weighed down. There's a concern and a care on your mind that's weighing you down. It may be a worry that you have, or it may be about someone you love dearly. And you're just pleading, God, just get through to them. God, just tell them how loved they are. Or you may be even saying that yourself. You may feel that way yourself. You may feel like that you've had so much weighed down that you're so separated that God would never want you, that you've gone down a path that's just so dark and dreary. Those are those of you that say, yeah, that's absolutely me. But you may say, by faith, I'm going to know, I'm going to do what I know I can do. And ultimately, I'm going to trust in the only one who is worthy of my trust. I'm going to trust in God with all those things I can't understand. And so, God, I pray in the name of your risen Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, that we would not only be hearers of the word, but we would be doers of the word. And that right now, all those fears and worries, it's making a big thump at your feet, that we are casting them upon you. And God, I pray that you would call us to do that, but ultimately that we trust in you with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. So God, help us by faith to present our requests and cares and worries and fears and everything else to you. For God, we trust you and we pray that your peace, your supernatural peace that others may not understand, that we may not even understand, would guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. For God, we put our cares in the trust box, trust in God box today. And we're not looking to the what ifs, but we're looking to your promises. And whatever the outcome is, whether it's our desire or something different, we will trust you, God. And as we continue to pray, there are those of you that right now, you want to be in control, especially when it comes to your relationship with God, your relationship with others. You want to be in control, and the truth of the matter is God wants you not to be in control. You want to be the spiritual drivers in the spiritual driver's seat, and God said, I was never made to be a co-passenger or a co-pilot. God wants to come from the passenger seat, put you over there, and let him drive. We need some GPS, some God positioning system in our lives. And so, Heavenly Father, if for those people who feel that way right now, just they can say this in their hearts or their minds or out loud, whatever. Heavenly Father, I surrender control to you. Jesus, forgive me for all of my sins. Make me a new person, a new creation. Become my Savior. Jesus, become my Lord, and I don't want to be in the driver's seat. I want you to drive, because where you drive, it's smooth sailing. Wherever you lead, I will follow. I lose my life in you so you can find it. So God, thank you for dying for me so I could live for you. And I'm going to trust that your perfect love casts out fear. So God, in this place, fill not only this place, but fill my heart with love for you beyond measure, that I can trust you each and every step of the way, and I can stand on your promises. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now, if you need somebody to pray with you or you want somebody to pray with you, there's people who will go ahead and be available to do that. Let's just worship him one more time here today as a group.
Nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. In your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flow and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory.
As we go forth this week, you know what's really crazy? Remember the scarecrow? Really interesting, in the midst of singing that song, just tell you how my mind works. Right? One of the things that's one of those big things right now. Popped in my head and went another direction. That's how he is, even in the midst of worshiping God. He knows about worship because he helped lead it in heaven. So he knows how to corrupt it. So that's why we got to put on the helmet of salvation, and we got to be in the Word of God, and we got to pray and petition, because there's a battle. Amen. It's not mine. It's his. So fear, remember, perfect love from Jesus Christ. Cast out all that fear. Yes. Go forth in the love of God, and I'm going to pray that whatever comes against you this week, that God's already there. He's fighting the battle. Trust it, believe in it, live it, and let God get the glory for it. Amen? All right. God bless.